beaming into your mind like a ray of cosmic revelation, smashing through the mainstream like a comet of prophecy. You're listening to Planet Vrilok, your podcast for everything super psionics and magic tech. Yes, welcome to my show. Tonight's podcast. In this episode, Metaphysics, Conscience, and Matter, honoring Dr. Emoto and Dr. Fenwick. My good friend, brother, technician in magic, and colleague in the mysterious, Dr. Abajo, has followed my work since possibly as far back as, well, I'm guessing probably since 2009. That's when I really made my online presence known for my work in international school, my past, living in different countries, and then, of course, my other various bodies of writing and my pioneering in something called kinetic magic and yellow magic. This work has been, for me, twofold. Number one, to work on spiritual projects around the planet, and in particular, while in Japan, to save lives. Number two, I have been assigned by the Cosmic All to seek out the true understanding of metaphysics. Tonight, I will disclose with my listeners some of my realizations within a scope that the general public might better comprehend these truths for which I will share with you tonight. So without further ado, let us begin. Allow me to first address to my listeners with a definitive explanation of what exactly is metaphysics. And then we will delve into why exactly this pursuit of metaphysics is, well, uniquely and singularly important to the humanities and possibly viable as a solution to the current state of affairs in our world today. Metaphysics, in its truest pursuit, is a venture to discover and reason what consciousness is, and more importantly, how it is that conscience filters into the world of matter, and how conscience affects matter, and vice versa. That is, we are exploring the merging of conscience with the physical world. Peter Fenwick, born 25 May 1935, is a neuropsychiatrist and neurophysiologist who is known for his pioneering studies of end-of-life phenomena. Now, the good Doc Fenwick spent his life researching and analyzing the near-death experiences of his patients and other patients who were dying. Dr. Fenwick's conclusive findings yield a relatively singular finding that there is a conscience which continues onward after the death of the physical body or the ceasing of the activity in the human brain. Dr. Fenwick's research grants us further assurance of the validness of this research into mind and matter, the afterlife, and, well, the quest for the human soul. At least for those of us with the courage and willingness to look beyond the mundane textbook explanations for our physical and psychical world, albeit our very existence as the human species is a miracle, yet we are not the only miracle. For instance, one Dr. Masaru Emoto performed extensive research into the hidden messages in water, for which I have paid great attention to. For ages prior to Dr. Emoto's research, however, occultists of old had already recognized the seeming intelligence of water and water's ability to retain some degree of intent so as to influence or change some properties yet not known to us on the esoteric level when consumed or contacted in some way. I believe this also extends to the entire planet. Yes, the Earth is not isolated from or independent of our activities, at least not absolutely. If you heard my interview with Joshua P. Warren on this podcast, you may remember that Joshua and I discussed how physical reality exists only because objects we come into contact with are of a frequency vibration which is close enough to our own physical body's vibrations. Thus, there is some resistance between those objects we touch and our physical bodies. Yet, as Joshua pointed out, radio waves pass through our bodies all the time, which are less like in vibration to our physical bodies. This is a clue left to us by the cosmic all, that alternate realities likely exist on planes of frequency unlike our own. So if we existed, for example, within the radio wave frequency, again, just as an example, if our bodies were made up of radio waves, we might experience an ocean of energy which to us, in our radio wave form, would be just as physical to our bodies as the experience of swimming at the beach. This gives us clues as to the existence of possible dimensions such as heaven, nirvana, limbo, purgatory, and hell. These may indeed be very real places, yet existing on other frequencies or other vibration. This area of science gives us greater interest in pursuing how consciousness somehow is able to traverse all the realities that we can conceive of, from our own thoughts to the thoughts of other people. Sometimes we share thoughts, we have a hunch of what somebody else is thinking, even if they're in another room, to experience of past lives, precognition, seeing events in the future before they happen. These are real experiences, real faculties outside of the ordinary five senses. Speaking with the dead, necromancy, and mediumship, and having instant access to information that is in outer space. I've experienced this myself, seeing two asteroids in my mind's eye pass by, only later that evening or the next day to hear about it on the news, that two asteroids passed between the Earth and the Moon, and the closest they've ever come before between the Earth and the Moon. Contacting alien intelligences, some people claim this has been done. I've seen interdimensionals and portals, myself personally. Interacting with other people, both alive and disembodied, within the dream world. Joshua and I talked about this as well, meeting in the dream world. And within my own experience, I was able to learn of Joshua's friend who works at NASA while having a shared dream experience or astral projection with Joshua Warren. And of course, my own research and experiments in telepathy with machines or telemechanics, and developing an ability to bring up the on-screen keyboard on a tablet PC, an iPad, and I think I had about two Android tablets I experienced or experimented with, and only using my focused thoughts to do this, which did take some training, and it's like a thermometer. We have to keep the magic high in order to keep doing these things. I also pioneered research into reading the minds of people participating in online multiplayer games, reading impressions and emails. That is also a new breakthrough, that we can sense residual thoughts in an email, or remnant thoughts, whether it was sent a day ago or 3 days ago. So that brings a whole new meaning to reading in between the lines, right? That thought energy literally sticks to everything we interact with. And thus, that explains in part how psychometry might work. And this greatly changes our perceptions as to how psychical so-called energy works. It may be that consciousness is not itself exactly an energy per se as we know it, yet in my field of psionics research, we are still on the outer edge of this frontier with so much work ahead of us. Of course, my part to play in this continued quest for reasoning and some breakthroughs in psionics, that is, again, mind and machine-focused intent, is perhaps a passing through or a crossing over the findings of those prestigious minds and researchers before me. Still, however, my results, knowledge, and the wisdom gained from my unique angle of occult research and psionics operations is invaluable to humankind. Though our real obstacle may be the omnipresent and purportedly omniscient bodies of the establishment controlling the narrative on all levels of reality and on all levels through which we interact and the outlets through which we receive information, whether it is scientific or social, educational or political in its structure. The latter pursuits, by the way, are cunningly designed to ensnare our potential for looking outside of the proverbial box so as to better keep man locked into a control system. Here is the thing I have against this control system as it currently exists. Although, I could say that I might say there is hope for the future if we open our minds and come to new realizations in regard to what great minds have been telling us for generations and ages already. My real beef with society is, by where merit is granted, all outlets and institutions of the basic channels available to us are biased because the money talks. This is true. Whether one is a blue state or a red state, I will explain further in a few moments. First, it is important for us to understand that the cosmic all, some refer to this intelligence as God, the universal mind or vast active mental system of the cosmos, gave humanity a mind so that we could come to much greater realizations than simply putting two and two together to summarize the sum of parts as constituting the whole of a thing. In our world of labels, we omit very important information or values in a thing, an object, a person, or a place. This is because labels reduce the knowledge we can conceive of about a thing, far outside the scope of the prospective wisdom from which the would-be occultist must attain. Consider the decoys in life. We know beyond a shadow of a doubt that, for instance, tornadoes and floods destroy homes throughout the Midwest and in some places on the East Coast more often than they do on the West Coast of the United States. Now, having a knowledge of these natural cycles should induce some careful considerations in the minds of anyone who can deduce the variability of such weather activities and disruptive atmospherics. Yet the almighty dollar stands that tract homes, communities, and institutions continue to be built in areas of the country which are severely prone to nature's wrath. I sincerely believe we continue on this path due to those whom are in control of our monetary system, and that's to say nothing of weather warfare technology. The war, various, I'm going to pause in midst of stride here. A lot of what's going on in our country today was experimented elsewhere in the world before they decided to bring the war home to us and cause civil unrest and, nearly on the edge of civil war. Some of this is due to very bad politics. Some of this is due to mental instability. It's a real crisis. The greater majority of us have very little choice or say in the matter of what industry decides for us. I'm referring to the almighty industrial complex, more often referred to, or better known as, the military-industrial complex, though the latter is actually an inaccurate terminology applied to an entity which controls all resources and steers the direction of myriad enterprises which are today congealing closer and more densely into a coalition of umbrella corporations. If society was less concerned with micromanaged narratives and instead focused on the basic logic of supporting human life, which I believe it is not concerned with, then we would see an end to our bad habits and business trends and lifestyles, for that matter. For instance, those structures or institutions which must continue to be present in locations that are afflicted by severe weather would be so designed, or redesigned, I should say, to withstand most of all such disruptive atmospherics. While in the same direction of thought in civil engineering, and by the aid of philanthropists assisting in a transition process, this would make housing in bubble cities available, or at least move people into safer areas, albeit if population management is possible. And where it's not possible, we can make amends by giving up a little of what we have to help other people. I think we've all become incredibly selfish. But that's my opinion. Again, the focus is what matters here. What is the narrative truly driving the multitude of minds toward on a daily basis? Well, it certainly is not for a truly green future. Yeah. That in itself is also a manipulative strategy, by the way, to ensure that money moves from, say, electric cars to Chinese-made batteries, batteries of well-outdated technology, while also shipping our jobs overseas. That, however, is only one problem. If we're too focused on just one problem and not seeing the whole picture, then we tend to lean either too far right or too far left in the way we see politics. We need to get our heads out of that. Our jobs will also continue to disappear as remote workers and telecommuters are wiped off the switchboards, just literally swept off the game board, and virtual companies by software, which can take over many of our vocational opportunities. For instance, those talents who have worked very hard in the field of voiceover for film and animation projects, guess what? They're now being swept aside with the introduction of new softwares or new products. Like, for instance, a software called SpeechElo, SpeechElo, which simply provides any filmmaker, television producer, and possibly even audiobook publishers with an alternative to actually having to pay a human being to work on voiceovers. Now, I can quickly sense my listeners' objections, that being the human artfulness and soul that goes into such talents as voiceovers, acting, writing novels, is too invaluable for any entity operating in the entertainment industry to just pass up in favor of a stupid machine doing the talking or writing the books. But let me tell you, what you may have possibly failed to realize is that the greater and vast number of human beings today seemingly do not acknowledge the value and appreciation for humanity on the whole. We're losing that. This direction of materialism, particularly in its corporatism of governance, has routed the humanities and the arts away from humanity. Science has not been left out of the mix either, far from it. Yes, Mr. Science says, well, this area of assumed honest research is also owned and branded by the industrial complex and anti-human interest bodies or special interest groups. Some of you old enough to remember or who have done your reading of scientific history may be familiar with the concept of subatomic glue. Can you believe they wrote that into textbooks for schools? Subatomic glue? Doesn't exist, never did, and they knew it. They knew it before they put it in the textbook, but they control the narrative. Now, where metaphysics might help us to resolve many of the problems of our current existence on this planet is perhaps first and foremost in the acknowledging of certain values which are generally thought of as being universal to all human beings who at least have a heart and a soul. If you have a mind to pull ourselves back from the scheme of narratives, the politics of division, then we can more readily face the real problems which are right around the bend. This, of course, requires a little more giving and perhaps sharing of resources to help those human beings who are not in a good position to make a transition into the future. I've done this as much as I can within my financial limits, even going beyond that, to attempt to help my friend Richard Whipple, who is suffering from severe diabetes, his daughter suffering from malnutrition, And another, a number of other people I've tried to assist as much as I can, financially and publicly, and psychically. But we need more people to be willing to do so. Yes, there will be continuous weather threats around the planet. Yes, there will be perpetual warfare. Yes, our food and rights to grow food will be challenged by authoritarians. Therefore, it is wise to begin learning to love your fellow human being right now. I know, I mean, you can find a million reasons to hate everybody or to dislike someone. We can find a million. Yeah, believe me, I've got my gripes. And I've got a shit list a mile long, sure. But learning how to actually cultivate a love for life and humanity is our greatest challenge today. The reason is simply this. This war between humanity and inhumanity will not be won by conquest of arms. Sorry, fellows. Drones are already in place to take out any number of gun owners. And, you know, so you'd be shooting at robots. So that is not how we win a battle against totalitarian regimes. Not saying you shouldn't reserve your guns. I'm simply saying that that's not how we're going to win it. Rather, it is a simple. It's in the simple things of life that we need to cultivate it, an appreciation for, which will then also blossom, once again, the values that are universal in humanity. A little gift of giving to another human being, perhaps sharing a little knowledge with our neighbors about, I don't know, gardening, farming, how to acquire affordable or even free solar power, windmills, generators, water purification systems, water catchers, or how to harvest food in the wild, how to care for livestock, and generally assisting our brothers and sisters in a time of Great Depression. But it isn't just about technicalities, knowing things. It's about willingness. I'd like to clarify that. There are a lot of people I know who are technically savvy, but they're arrogant. Very arrogant. Or it's all about them and their accomplishments. And when the time comes, they don't go out of their way to help you. I've experienced that firsthand, actually. Yeah, and it doesn't matter if it's someone who is a Christian or an atheist. It doesn't really matter. You're going to find these similar traits in people. And when you do, you need to just brush those aside and look elsewhere. A good thing that you can offer, aside from technicalities, is integrity. The ability to do what you say you're going to do and be dependable. Be a reliable human being. Be a good neighbor. And also give your neighbor space, too. You know, people don't always want you in their face. I mean, this contact tracing and all that going on is probably not the best thing we can be doing. At least, yeah, not in a humanitarian way in that sense. But I digress. You know, now as to metaphysics, I've discovered some very interesting breakthroughs via the art and practice of technomentalism, or what is better known today as psionics. It's been called psionics since the 1950s, I think. My nearly 40 years of practicing meditation and 30 plus some years of psionics has allowed me time sufficient to gather my findings and produce worthwhile content and multimedia for my following to digest and to contemplate, to reflect on. My work is available for purchase at different levels of cost because, as I have a widespread audience of all walks of life and my research must be continued, I rely on varying levels of commitment. Your support of the work I do is incredibly important. No, actually, you know, I truly feel a cosmic consciousness calling me to continue to aid humanity with my research while also providing my followers with powerful entertainment, which, by the way, entertainment helps us digest much of this psionics material in a fun and interactive way that we can really get into. I mean, it's better than sitting there watching a video with some boring doctors or people who just can't present this material in a way that's fun and easy for you to understand. Consider what you can do today, which will influence tomorrow. Take, for instance, the power of your words. Words are indeed power, else the establishment would not be busying themselves trying to control what we see, what we read, what we hear, what we say. You know that every time you use, for example, foul language, that language is being manifested in your reality somewhere down the road, and in real time, your body's water is going to respond to the way in which you present yourself. So if you are carelessly regurgitating profanity, then you are indeed made of the profanity that you usher into your life and to those who are most often within your personal presence. There's an old joke about reincarnation I might tell. And you know, I find that good humor helps us to retain important wisdom far better than the most serious book on esoteric knowledge. So here goes my joke for tonight. Alright, so three men have died. They arrive in purgatory and at the chasm to rebirth. They're going to be reincarnated. God's angel speaks to men and lectures the following. In order to be reborn, you must run off this cliff and summarize all your hopes in one word only. Whatever word you so speak, so shall you becometh. The first man dives off the cliff and shouts out, Eagle! And so he is transformed into an eagle. The second man jumps from the cliff and shouts, Butterfly! And he is made instantly into a lovely butterfly. Now the third man, however, begins running towards the edge of the cliff, but happens to trip over a rock in mid-stride, and he exclaims, Shit! Well, we want to avoid the mistake of the third man in that little joke there. Alrighty then. So if you are interested in my breakthroughs in metaphysics via psionics, then please patronize my psionic shop at verloc.com/shop. Here's one more thing I'd like to leave my listeners with tonight. If you are uncertain about what your talent is, or if you are not certain of what you can do using your talents to drive your talents, begin by spending a few minutes alone listening to the sound of your breathing and just relax. Clear your mind. And then allow your passions to surface in your mind. Whatever your passions are, by the way, that will lead you to a paper trail to the latent talents that you possess, as well as to whatever the universal plan might be for you to accomplish in your life's pursuits. Follow your passions. Allow for me also to leave you with the following passage from The Future of Metaphysics. It's a book written in the 1970s, I believe. One of my favorite old books, and this has to do with metaphysics. Again, metaphysics as defined as a branch of philosophy which examines the fundamentals of the nature of reality, that being potential and actual, as well as the effect on reality, or the effect of reality upon the mind and mind upon reality. And I quote, "The growing complexity of the modern world with its science, technology, and industry confused many people to such an extent that they had to cry out for some clarifying vision of the whole, and particularly for what in this whole is still unquestionably valuable. On the other hand, religion as well as metaphysics seemed to be unable to point to a foundation upon which such a vision could be grounded. It is in the face of this desperate situation that many philosophers have tried to found values without any appeal to religious or metaphysical a priori." End quote. You know, I believe that psionics is indeed that new foundation upon which such a vision of the whole might be grounded. My reasoning for this is because psionics has a potential to put the individual into direct contact with actual being or existence or the real substance of the things or concepts that the individual, he or she, is concerned with. That means you. So think about that. and think about patronizing my shop and learning something new. Try something new tonight. Alrighty then, thank you for joining me on Planet Vrilok tonight, and until next time, as always, always keep the magic high. This is Tom Vrilok, signing out.